I think perhaps the greatest tribute that can be paid to HBO, both the complexity and the splendor of his personality, is the way that everyone who knew him or who wrote about him had a different view as to what kind of a person he was, you see. And because there are fascinating things in everything that Willis has said and that Sprague has said. Much praise, much blame, you see. Willis praising him a great deal more highly than Sprague. Sprague being very discerning in some respects and accusing him of being a failure from a very practical point of view. All these things are most interesting. And I think there are probably few writers that could have inspired such controversy. I think it would have astounded Howard himself. I think he would have found it unbelievable that all this furious controversy has raged about him. And I think what is perhaps most important to get at this morning, as Fritz said, is to try to present a picture of Lovecraft in a simple way, as a simple human being, rather than dragging so much controversy, you see, as to various aspects of his personality, just what kind of a person he was. Now, I think I knew him probably better than anyone else over a period of about 15 years. And my forthcoming biography, to be published by Arkham House, it'll probably be out by the middle of November, maybe as late as December 1st, but I'm hoping by the middle of November. I wrote this a year and a half ago, you see, before Sprague's book appeared, but the printing delays and so forth at Arkham House has delayed this. I was hoping to have the whole book here at this convention and some circulars about and all that, but it was just absolutely impossible. And that has been a disappointment to me, you see, because the picture of Lovecraft that will emerge from my book will be quite different from the one that emerges from Willis's book and the one that emerges from Sprague's book. You see, we all looked upon Howard in a different way. People who knew him well had one view, and other writers and later writers and so forth, and critics and literary analysis and so forth, they all had different viewpoints. And I think you can get confused if we attempt to try to analyze one particular aspect of Howard, you see, and to stress that too much. As Fritz has said, is going to dominate the whole conversation and present a distorted point of view. Well, what I shall try to do, you see, in these question and answer periods, which I understand is to follow this talk, is to try to present my impressions of Lovecraft in a comparatively simple way. As I say, I disagree with all of these interpretations. They're quite different Lovecraft. No, I'm afraid I don't agree with Sprague as to the early Lovecraft. He changed, of course, considerably. There's no question about that. But many of the qualities of great kindliness and generosity and willingness to go way out of his way to help young writers and all that was very pronounced, even in the early 1920s when I first started to correspond with him. He was a very mellow Lovecraft, incredible as that may seem, even when he was quite young, in many aspects of his personality. But of course he did change profoundly, and I wouldn't put the change to just the last two or three years, the last 7 years he changed quite a good deal, you see. But as I say, I think that one thing I should say now about Lovecraft, you see, he was never interested in commercial success to any extent. The main chance, the thing that inspires so many Americans, is fierce competition. He simply stood above that sort of thing, as all great artists, not all great artists, but a great many of great men have. I mean, like Van Gogh or Blake or any of the great artists and poets, they were more interested in their creative vision than in making a success in the marketplace, of peddling their wares in the marketplace, and Lovecraft was always like that. There's a tradition of the artist as a rebel, you see. This view held by a great many artists in the last years of the 19th century and the early years of the 20th. The artist was a rebel against conventions and against society, and the society was the enemy of the artist. This is a definite point of view, which is held was held for a great many years and is still held by many people, you see. I think Sprague, who is a man of tremendous philosophical brilliance and background in literature and all that doesn't understand, doesn't sympathize with this rebellion of the artist, which was characteristic of Howard. Despite his changing philosophical views and all that, he felt from the very beginning that the artist is not, is in a way persecuted by the world. Now this is a strongly held view, and it still, and it has, comes back from time to time. In the 60s, a good many of the hippies held this view, that the artist was a rebel, you see. And that is a view that I don't think Sprague is really sufficiently sympathetic towards. And it was a view which did characterize much of Howard's earlier emotions, all apart from his social views, all apart from his so-called racism and so forth. He did think of the artist in that time, that it was very strongly held in the 1890s, but way up into the 20th century, into the 1920s in America. And the artist was opposed to society. Society would do all it could in a way to hamper and destroy the artist. Now that's simply a point of view that Lovecraft held, and I feel explains a great deal about him in his younger days.